Good morning. Wow, okay, we're on. So it's my pleasure today to pick up where we left off in 2 Peter, verses 12 through 15. I'll just start by reading the text. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Let's pray once more. Father, I need your help. You know I'm not a teacher, but your word teaches us. Would you cause us to hear what's true? Would you cause us to forget anything I say that's incorrect? But mostly, would you cause us to see you as you are and to be in love with you and to want to look like you? Help me now. Amen. In 1952, troubled singer Billie Holiday recorded Irving Berlin's classic song from 1925. It's a jazz standard, Remember. You know the lyrics? Remember the night you said, I love you. Remember? Remember you vowed by all the stars above you. Remember? You promised that you would forget me not, but you forgot to remember. Why was that a hit? It's because every one of us identifies with that. We know that's how it is, don't we? We're forgetful people. It's the human condition. We do remember things that we probably ought to forget, but we do not remember other things. We forget what we should remember, and we remember things we should forget. If you're like me, and you are, you're a slow learner about the harm done by our sin. One of the classics that's hard to believe it's in the Bible, but you know, Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. The Bible is rough on us. It tells the truth about us. We're in a lousy position. We're as bad off as we could be. Some of us are slow to remember our new identity in Christ. Now, James 1:23 through 25, because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing the face he was born with in a mirror, because he has observed himself and gone away and has immediately forgotten what he was like. For the one who has gazed intently into the perfect law, which is one of freedom, has stayed there next to it, becoming not a forgetful listener, but instead a doer of work. This one will be blissful in what he does. So to remember our calling is good. It's what we should be turning our attention toward. But our forgetfulness is bad. Well, what is it that he's reminding of us? We were all here the last several weeks, most of us. Do you remember what we were talking about? I hope you do, but I'm going to review, right? Because what else would I do with a passage that's just talking about remembering? I didn't tell you what we're remembering. 2 Peter 1:8 through 9, for when these things are in you and are increasing, they render you neither idly barren nor barrenly unfruitful for the full knowledge of Jesus the Anointed. For the one in whom these things are not present is blind. One version put it, gazing with closed eyes, imbibing forgetfulness of the purging of his old sins. I still didn't tell you the rest of it. I'll get there in a minute, but a quick sidebar. On the other hand, God's forgetfulness is good. It's really good. When we speak of many attributes of transcendent God, we anthropomorphize. Everybody knows that $3 word, right? It's to take human attributes and sort of project them on a non-human in a way of trying to understand some aspect of truth about it. So we describe God using human characteristics, and Scripture does too. We're trying to understand something true of the God who is there, even if his perfection exceeds my and your ability to completely grasp. There's so many beautiful promises of God's forgetfulness, particularly in the Old Testament. A few examples that I love. Isaiah 43:25, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Wow. Oh, thank you. He blots out my transgressions for his sake. He's doing a thing, right? Jeremiah 31:34, and no longer shall each one, this is talking about future of restoration, and no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Oh man, I need that. I need that. The Christian's reconciliation to God through Christ and our life in view of that reality has to radically affect our relationships with each other and who we become over time. Recall with me a few weeks back, Jared was teaching, and he pointed out six things Peter's telling us in the passage just prior to today's text. They were, one, in Christ, you're no longer enslaved to corruption. Two, in Christ, you are no longer defined by your sinful desires. Three, in Christ, you are being transformed into the image of God. Four, in Christ, you are not who you used to be. Five, in Christ, you're not trapped in your sin. And six, in Christ, you are a new creation made to reflect the holiness of God. All these things are happening in Christ, right? Salvation is so much bigger. It's so much more glorious than we often think about it. Yes, Christ made peace through the blood of his cross, Colossians 1. There's so much more. We have that hope, but it's not limited to being spared a well-earned punishment for our sin. If he overlooked our sin and forgave us, but then left us just as we are now to continue forever as broken, stumbling sinners constantly in need of correction, healing, and restoration, what kind of salvation would you consider that? It would be incomplete, right? I need more than forgiveness. I need to become somebody who's not doing what I'm doing. I need to become free from my error. That is what we all need to do. What does it look like to be a proper human being? It looks like Jesus Christ, the perfect image of the invisible God. It is in his likeness that we are supposed to be transformed. It's this recreation of us that God is doing. People made to be looking like his image. He's recapitulating everything into a proper human beings capable of full participation in the abundant, joyful life of God Almighty. Nothing less will do. It's way bigger than forgiveness. It's also correction. It's restoration. It's remaking us. If we're not going that direction, we're not yet taking part in the salvation. We're not yet taking part in the big picture of what God is doing in the world. It's not about checking off a list. It's not legalism. It's not, I'm goody two-shoes now. I got to straighten up and fly right. You're not thinking about it correctly. Why should a Christian's life be characterized by the things that we read in the other verse that I'm going to read in a minute that you forgot, but I didn't? There's a reason. That is what it looks like to be restored, to be corrected. It is an integral part of our salvation. So, close to the end of life, Peter appears to see this topic as the bottom line. It's of the utmost importance in how we live. His diligent call to fellow believers is that unless our life displays this compounding, unfolding chain of godly characteristics listed in verses 5 through 7, which I'm going to read again in a minute, we're failing to move from our darkness into the glorious light. We're still falling short of our telos, our reason for being, to reflect the glory of God. Romans 8, 6 through 8, and then 19 through 23. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And then in verse 19, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. This is the meaning, it's the purpose, it's the abiding hope, JC, of our great salvation in Christ alone. So, although this question is asked and answered in prior weeks, I'll repeat it here because I just reestablished our forgetfulness. Is the author teaching salvation by works here? No. Galatians 2:16. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works. Not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. The admonishment to remember these things is because this is the way, this is the path. It's the how and what of our new life, how to be done with the old ways, how to receive the gift we've been given. It's what we are meant to become. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This is where I reread verses 3 through 7, right? What are we remembering? His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him, getting older, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption, escape from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then you get down to verse 11 again. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the how. It's not a checklist, and it's not earning your justification. It's just part of what needs to happen so that we quit being sinners. We're not meant to be that way. We're supposed to look like Christ. And we're all a long way from that. But that's what we're talking about. Lay hold of it. Don't forget. Don't forget what we're doing. Don't forget. It is also outward evidence of the new spiritual life we've been given as believers. You know, throughout 1 John, we have these phrases that reappear, right? By this we know. By this we know. It's saying, what should it look like? What's the effect it has on how we think, how we treat each other, how we respond in situations? What do we do with our time? What do we do in difficult situations? It should look different over time. We should be getting better at these things. So let's don't be gazing with closed eyes, imbibing forgetfulness. Let's remember that growing in godliness is an indispensable part of receiving the prize of our salvation through Christ. Pray with me. God, you know we are forgetful. We need you to reveal yourself over and over, to reset us, to remind us why we're here, what we're doing, what it's about, what the point is, to remind us of the full scope, the meaning of our salvation in Christ. Thank you for not just overlooking my sin, but then leaving me in the same corrupt condition that continues to produce ruin. Thank you for showing us how to live in a way that leads to life and not to destruction. You know we can't do it unless we see that as a glorious and desirable thing for which we should be striving. Would you put that in our hearts? Would you cause that outcome to be highly desirable to us? Make us want to grow up spiritually into people that look like your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.